Turn with me to the book of Judges. We're in the book of Judges this summer, Judges chapter 15. Our sermon series is called Samson, Strong Man Gone Wrong. And we are looking at Samson's life in the book of Judges to learn how we can better live our lives. Last week we looked at marriage gone wrong, and this week we're looking at vengeance gone wrong. Now, those two are not necessarily connected, okay? You're not supposed to usually go marriage, vengeance, okay? That just happens to be the way Judges 14 and Judges 15 go. But we're going to be covering the whole chapter, chapter 15, the course of our message this morning. But we're going to begin right now just by reading one single verse, okay? Judges 15, verse 3. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Judges 15, verse 3. Samson said to them, "This time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them." And that is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, as we look at this verse in its context so that we don't apply it the wrong way, as we look at this whole chapter in Samson's life, Lord, I pray that you would continue speaking to us and teaching us from your word. Lord, help us to learn the better way than vengeance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Vengeance, revenge, retribution, payback. Don't get mad, get even. Or for some people, I guess it's get mad and get even, right? Vengeance, it's part of our fallen human nature. It also seems to be a big part of our culture. We even have a whole movie genre dedicated to it, right? It's called The Revenge Flick, coming soon to a theater near you every season. One of the most popular movie series of all times is called what? The Avengers, right? Although the movies themselves really have very little to do with revenge. You can go back further in our history. You can look at the feuds that used to take place. Remember the Hatfields and the McCoys? We always hear about those. One of the ironies, when you look at long-standing feuds, the ones that go on for generation after generation, is that the people who are feuding usually have no idea what they're fighting about. You know, the initial reason's long forgotten. They have no idea. But what is it? It's this sense of vengeance that fuels the feud, and it keeps the fighting going for years and years on end. So today we're going to look at Samson and how vengeance fueled the feud between Samson and the Philistines. The title of the message is Vengeance Gone Wrong, but that title is really redundant because vengeance is always wrong. At least human-initiated vengeance is always wrong. There's no such thing as vengeance gone right. So let's take a look now. We're going to look at Samson and the Philistines. We're going to learn some principles that will help us to guard ourselves against the temptation to take vengeance or revenge when we are wronged. So in Judges chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, our first principle is this: take responsibility for your own actions. There is an outline in your bulletin with all of the principles we'll be looking at in the various scriptures, if you'd like to take that out to follow along or to take notes. Principle number one: take responsibility for your own actions. So in Judges 15, verses 1 through 3. Later on, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, "I'm going to my wife's room." But her father would not let him go in. "I was so sure you thoroughly hated her," he said, "that I gave her to your friend. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead." Samson said to them, and this was the verse we read earlier, "This time I have a right to get even with the Philistines, and I will really harm them." Now, if you remember Samson's story from last week, marriage gone wrong, this all happened, what we're seeing here, because Samson told a riddle at the wedding. He told the riddle, his wife gave the answer to the Philistines. Samson got mad, killed a bunch of Philistines, 30 of them, and went home without his wife. Apparently, his wife didn't want to waste the wedding, so she married the best man at the wedding instead. Now Samson returns, shows up at the front door with a goat in his hands, and he wants to sleep with his wife. Only problem is she's married to someone else. So what does Samson say? He says, I'm going to get even. I got a right. This time I've got a right to get even. Which implies last time he didn't have a right, did he? But he doesn't really have the right even now. What is Samson doing? He is refusing to take responsibility for his own actions. This is all his own fault. Why? Because he got angry and he went home. He left the wedding without his wife. Guys, don't do that, okay? If you want to stop this whole vengeance cycle dead in its track before it even begins, the first thing you need to do is you've got to learn to take responsibility for your own actions. Don't blame others for your mistakes. When King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he prayed to the Lord. We read it in Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4. He prayed to the Lord, Lord, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You know, at first David tried to hide his sin, but once he was confronted, what did he do? He took responsibility for his actions. And he didn't blame anyone but himself. Sometimes there's blame on both sides. What do you do then? Even then, the Bible says to look at your own faults first. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, this is from the Sermon on the Mount, he said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank of wood in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's this big old plank in your eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That's the first step to breaking the cycle of vengeance. You take responsibility for your own actions. Number two, pour your energy into doing something good. Pour your energy into doing something good. Let's see what Samson poured his energy into. We're back to Judges 15 now, verses 4 and 5. So Samson went out and caught 300 foxes. He tied them tail to tail in pairs. He then fastened a torch to every pair of tails. He lit the torches and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and the standing grain together with the vineyards and the olive groves. Now, folks, this is really a master plot. Can you imagine how much work was involved? First of all, catching all of these foxes and then tying their tails together. And then you got to transport them all the way out to the fields. And you got to light all the torches one by one and then setting the foxes loose in the fields. Revenge takes a lot of work and a lot of emotional energy. Plotting takes energy. The Bible speaks about those who stay up late at night plotting. We read in Micah chapter 2, verse 1, woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of wasted energy. Imagine if you put all that work into doing something good instead. It's like when you're mad at someone and you can't wait to tell them off. What do? You plan out your words in advance, right? And then you rehearse them over and over again. And you picture the scene in your mind, and you just can't wait to see them, not because you love them, want to get them out. You can't wait to just unleash this avalanche of words against them. You say, Pastor Ray, how do you know that so well? Folks, that's a lot of negative energy. Wouldn't you do better taking that energy and putting it towards doing something good? Galatians 6 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and when someone has wronged you, it is an opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Proverbs 14:22 says, do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. That's our second principle this morning. When it comes to vengeance and revenge, Instead of all that plotting and negative energy, pour your energy into doing something good instead. Number three, don't let things escalate. Okay, here back, Judges 15, verses 6 through 8. When the Philistines asked, who did this? Their fields are all burned up. They said, who did this? They were told, Samson, the Timnite son-in-law, because his wife was given to his friend. So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. I guess that seemed logical to them. Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. And he attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. And then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Etam. Remember, this all started with what? With a riddle. It all started with a riddle. And then that escalated to Samson's initial confrontation with the Philistines, then to his wife being given away to his friend, then to the destruction of the Philistines' property, and now Samson's wife and her father needlessly burned to death, followed by Samson slaughtering even more Philistines. Do you see things are getting a little out of hand here? But it all started with what? A riddle. Samson and the Philistines both, they are letting things escalate. And this is so important, people. Do not let things escalate in your life. Instead, be a peacemaker. Romans chapter 12 says this, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In chemistry and in physics, we learn that every action has an opposite and equal reaction. But it's different with relationships. In relationships, the reactions are either going to get bigger or they're going to get smaller. And it's your choice. For example, we read in Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. There's bringing things down, right? But a harsh word stirs up anger. That's making things worse. In any situation, you can choose. You have the choice to either escalate things or to de-escalate. It's up to you. There's enough hurt and pain in this world already. And you and I do not need to add to it. You know what we need to be? We need to be shock absorbers. When somebody offends you, instead of getting all tight and angry and just bouncing that evil right back into the world, you need to relax in the spirit, absorb the offense through Jesus, and let it stop with you. When you fight fire with fire, you only spread more fire. You only cause more damage. That's our third principle. Don't let things escalate. Number four, realize that your actions affect other people. Your actions affect other people. Now we're in Judges 15, verses 9 to 13. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. The men of Judah asked the Philistines, why have you come to fight us? We've come to take Samson prisoner, they answered, to do to him as he did to us. Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the caves in the rock of Etam and said to Samson, don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? He answered, I merely did to them what they did to me. They said to him, we've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. Samson said, swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves. Agreed, they answered. We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. What's happening? Samson's actions are now beginning to affect other people, aren't they? I mean, it's already happened. He already got his wife and her father killed. Now the people of Judah are being drawn into the conflict. I love the dialogues that take place here. The Philistines tell the men of Judah, "We come here to do to Samson what he did to us." And what does Samson say? He says, "I just did to them what they did to me." The men of Judah, they're just caught in the middle, aren't they? Samson and the Philistines are both practicing what we might call the anti-golden rule. You know the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. This scene reminds me of when my mother caught me pushing a kid in the sandbox when I was young. Now, he pushed me first. And when my mother reprimanded me, I remembered what I learned in Sunday school. And I told her, I said, "I'm just doing unto others as they did unto me." I think I got that one a little confused. But you see, we never sin in a vacuum. Sin always affects other people. For example, we read in Joshua 7 how a man named Achan sinned. And the whole nation of Israel suffered as a result. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, it says, "Make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Instead, make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Your actions affect other people for good or for ill. Anytime you get into a cycle of revenge, there is going to be collateral damage. Other people who have nothing to do with the conflict are going to get drawn in and they are going to get hurt. When you are married, it's often the kids who get hurt. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything to deserve this. They are going to suffer the consequences of your actions. Anytime you are tempted to seek revenge, stop and ask yourself, how might this affect my family, my spouse, my children, my parents? How might this affect my church and my friends? How is this going to affect other people? By the way, throughout this series, we've been seeing the various ways that Samson foreshadows Christ. And there's another foreshadowing of Christ here, as the people of Israel do what? They take the man that God has set apart to be their Savior. The one that God has said, this is going to be your deliverer, their Savior. And what do? They deliver him over to their enemies. Not supposed to help the enemy. And in giving their judge and their deliverer over to the Philistines, this foreshadows what's going to happen with Jesus. When Jesus was given over to the enemy for our sakes. That's our fourth principle when it comes to the temptation to take vengeance or revenge. Realize that your actions affect other people. Now we come to number five. Know that vengeance will take you farther than you ever imagined. This ties back into the earlier point of don't let things escalate. It's going to take you farther than you ever imagined it would. Judges 15, verses 14 to 17. As Samson approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him, shouting, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands," just burst out of those ropes like they were nothing. "Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. And then Samson said, 'With a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men.' And when he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath Lehi." Now, there are a number of things to note from these verses. First of all, note God's sovereignty. And all this. This is something we've drawn our attention to a number of times in the series. That even though Samson does everything wrong, God still uses him to fight the Philistines. God had raised Samson up to deliver Israel from the Philistines. God is going to fulfill his purposes through Samson, despite Samson. But it would have been so much easier for everyone. Well, maybe not for the Philistines, but it would have been so much easier for everyone else if Samson had only obeyed God instead. Second, notice that Samson just broke his Nazirite vow again. Remember, he's not supposed to go near or touch a dead body. What's the first thing he grabs? The jawbone of a dead donkey. And then the fight begins. If Samson's life was a movie, if you're watching this on the screen, this is the big fight scene. You know, some of these movies have the big fight scene. This is it. This is the big fight scene. Empowered by the Spirit of God, Samson strikes down 1,000 men in hand-to-hand combat, armed with nothing but a jawbone of a donkey. And when it's all over, instead of giving God the credit, what does he do? He boasts about his own accomplishment. He taunts anyone who may be listening with a donkey's jawbone. I made donkeys of them. With the donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. And then he dramatically just throws that jawbone aside. It would be in slow-mo on the screen, right? And the place was called Ramoth Lehi, which means Jawbone Hill. Now we're into Western territory, aren't we? Jawbone Hill. And so here's Samson standing atop Jawbone Hill, surrounded by 1,000 dead Philistine bodies, screaming his boasts into the air. And it all started with a riddle. Do you think Samson ever imagined, when he told the riddle back at the wedding feast, that he would end up on Jawbone Hill? We read in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your own way." Proverbs 14, 12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, it seems right to you, but it leads to death." In other words, don't even get started down that path. You never know where it is going to lead you, but if you avoid the beginning, guess what? You will also avoid the end. Proverbs 5 speaks about the person who chooses to indulge in sin in their younger years. Proverbs 5, verses 11 to 15. "At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You'll say, 'How I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly, in front of everyone.'" And folks, sometimes you get to Jawbone Hill in your own life and you look around at all of the pain and destruction that you have caused. And you ask yourself, how did I get here? How in the world did I ever get here? And the answer is one step at a time. Nobody ever sets out to ruin their own life. But what do? We make a series of choices that lead us either towards God or away from God. And then we reap what we sow. There's an old saying. Goes like this: sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. That's our fifth principle about vengeance and revenge this morning. Vengeance is going to take you farther than you ever imagined. So don't go there. Don't even set foot on that path. Principle number six: seek the Lord and his mercy. Back to Judges 15, verses 18 and 19. "Because he was very thirsty, Samson cried out to the Lord, 'You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?' And then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned and he revived. So the spring was called En HaKoreh, and it is still there in Lehi." Samson was busy boasting in his accomplishments, taking all the credit for himself. So what did God do? God humbled him with thirst. And then Samson finally acknowledges God's role in the victory, and he cries out to the Lord for help. This is the first time, I don't know if it's the first time he ever did it, but it's the first time we see Samson pray in the book of Judges. And we won't see him pray again until just before he dies in chapter 16. Samson seems only to pray when he's in trouble. Do you ever do that? Do you only pray when you need help? It's a bad strategy. God wants you to pray. And if you only pray when you're in trouble, guess what? God's going to have to keep sending you trouble just to get you praying. Bad strategy. Samson's thirsty. And so he cries out to the Lord for help, and God helps him. That's who God is. That's God's heart. God makes water flow from the rock for Samson, just like he did for the Israelites in the wilderness. God has been helping Samson all along. God helped him with the lion. He helped him with the 30 Philistines earlier. He helped him with breaking those ropes when he was tied up. He helped him with 1,000 Philistines, and now he helps him by providing water for him when he is thirsty. And the spring that God opens up there receives a name, En Hakore, which means the spring of him who calls. That's a much better name than Jawbone Hill. Jawbone Hill spoke of pride and self-sufficiency. The spring of him who calls, that reminds us that God provides what we need. And he answers us when we call to him. Isaiah 55 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." It's never too late to turn to God until it's too late. Don't hang out on Jawbone Hill, boasting of your accomplishments. Call upon the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek his mercy. And God will strengthen you and renew you for your tasks. The very last verse of chapter 15 tells us, Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. That's interesting. The judges before Samson always defeated the enemy, and then they led the nation in freedom. But remember, Israel is in a downward spiral. Things get worse and worse with each new judge. Samson is the final judge. And under Samson's leadership, they're not free. They're not free. Samson's leading them, but they are still under the rule of the Philistines. So if vengeance and revenge and getting even, if these are all the wrong way to do things, what should you do? Let me give you three principles from the New Testament now on how we are to act instead. Number one, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This was Jesus' instruction to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't get mad. Don't get even. Love your enemies and pray for them. Number two, walk the extra mile, turn the other cheek. We read these verses earlier from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you in the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. And then finally, number three, leave it up to God to handle. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And anytime you take things into your own hands, you know what? You are acting as the judge. You are passing sentence on the offender. But there's a real problem with that because you are not the judge. God is. Vengeance doesn't belong to you or to me. It belongs to the Lord. Only God can judge rightly, because only God is all-knowing, and only God is perfectly just in all that he says and all that he does. And so that's why the Bible tells us, don't take revenge. Leave it in God's hands. God can take care of it so much better than you or I can. So what do we do instead of taking revenge? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Walk the extra mile and turn the other cheek. Leave it up to God to handle. That's the way Jesus did it. And that's the way we need to do it as well. You might look at those three things and you might say, I can't do that. That's impossible. You know what? Of course you can't. I can't either. That's why we need Jesus. No one can be like Jesus without Jesus. And you know what? Jesus was the ultimate shock absorber. Jesus took all our sins on himself, and he bore them in his own body on the tree. Just like Samson was bound and handed over to his enemies, Jesus was bound and delivered over to death for our sins. Just as Samson snapped the ropes that held him as if they were nothing, Jesus broke the bonds of death and rose victorious from the grave. And just as God opened up the spring for Samson when he was thirsty, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. God forgave us our sins so that we could forgive others. God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And so we don't need to get even with others. But first you need Jesus. You need to come down from Jawbone Hill, that place of pride and self-sufficiency. You need to come down from Jawbone Hill and come to a much better hill, to the hill of Calvary, where Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of all your sins. Don't take vengeance into your own hands. Leave it up to God to handle. Let us pray. Dear Lord, there's so much packed into this one chapter of Scripture. Lord, I know it's hard for us to take it all in. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take the one or two or three points that we really need in our own lives today. Speak those into our lives by your Spirit. And Lord, drive us to Jesus, because we cannot do these things on our own. Our natural inclination, our human nature says to fight back, to get mad and get even. Lord, that's not the Christian way. That's not the way that's going to do any good or help to this world. Lord, help us to choose the way of Jesus. Help us to choose Jesus so that we can take your way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.